Welcome back to Perseverantia. I'm your host, Steve Olson. This is episode 2, College from Your Living Room. Last episode, we looked at the initial reaction to being sent home in March 2020. Both students and faculty alike were thrown into the world of online education and forced to make do. What did that look like? What effect did it have on the campus community? Ryan Normand studied game design at Fitchburg State. By credit, he's a senior at the university, but transferring from being an English major at UMass Boston lost him some of his progress towards his degree. The shift to at-home learning shocked him in particular. UMass Boston is an urban school and has the city of Boston as its classroom, especially if you study the liberal arts. Within a year, Normand's classroom shrank from the size of a metropolis down to the size of his bedroom.
It was a lot of just like, okay, how can I not go stir crazy, locked away at home doing Japanese at 8 a.m. for a class and then writing like essays while being stuck in home all the time. It was unfortunate, but, and all the teachers had like really clocked out too, because they were in the same position as us. They really had no idea what was going on. So then it did get better with time. I just kind of read a lot. I just started to really read. I started to write a lot, and I used art as well to cope, definitely.
Gabby Callahan, the sophomore nursing major you heard from last episode, expressed her immediate frustrations in her interview for this project.
I feel like it completely affected the way that I saw nursing, if that makes sense. Like, I was really angry. Not that anybody could have done anything about it, but I was angry at the fact that my clinical experience was being taken away. I had a great clinical instructor, a great clinical group. So I was really mad for a really long time that it got ripped away from me. I'm not going to say it was like a blessing in disguise, because I still think that I need a lot more like hands-on things, like hands-on practice. But I do think it built communication and it gave me a chance to kind of take a step back and be like, okay, maybe there's other things that are more important than just clinical. And like, being immersing yourself in the experience, you know.
As a result of these frustrations, burnout settled in almost as fast as the pandemic itself. Students no longer enjoyed the degrees of separation between work, school, and play. They all mixed together into a melting pot of stress and worry that can really take a toll on mental health. Miranda Gustin held several student leadership roles on campus, but most notably, she served as residential assistant and president of the Fitchburg Activities Board, but you'll hear more about them in a later episode. Here she is talking about the difficulty students had with dividing their priorities.
The workload was a lot harder to do because you think you go to class and you're staring at a screen. You do your homework, you're staring at a screen. People who went home, including myself, took the time to, if they weren't on a screen, they were at work. You know, they weren't sitting at home doing nothing.
Joe Catella, who you heard from last episode, had a similar experience and understood the struggle from both a student and faculty perspective.
A lot of professors may not have been familiar with how to do online learning, different ways and techniques in order to be the most efficient. So I had some professors that uploaded lectures and just asked the students to watch them. Others went completely documents only and said, here's what you have to do.
Faculty, like Catella said, had a lot of difficulty adjusting. Dr. William Cortesia, professor of education, did his best to capture the feelings of his colleagues.
It changed drastically. Not better or worse, just completely different. Teaching online is a completely different format, and it's something that none of us had gone to school to do, because honestly, depending on your age and when you got your degree, that didn't even exist. So it changed drastically. You miss that eye contact, even though you can see the student without a mask. It's very detached. There isn't that synergy of walking around the class, feeling the class. It's multiple boxes that you're looking at. And it also not only affects the teaching part of it, but the learning. You know, some students don't do well online. They need to be there or ask more questions or ask the professor to repeat. And they might not do that online.
Sudden change in academic procedure directly correlates to sudden drops in academic performance. With programs like nursing that have a GPA minimum of 2.5 in order to stay in the program, younger students struggled to keep afloat. That's part of what made Gabby Callahan so nervous. Deborah Bennis, chair of the nursing department, knew this all too well.
So the freshmen had a very difficult time maintaining the grades to stay in the program, and we lost a lot of freshmen going into sophomore year. We lost more sophomores than we normally would have lost, and there's so many variables that could go into play. Mental health, family, home life, a different mechanism for learning. It's really important from a nursing perspective to be interactive, and that screen doesn't always allow that to occur.
So how do you keep students engaged? How do you make sure they don't give up? How do you ensure their success? These questions ultimately fell on the university administration to answer. Here's Vice President of Student Affairs, Dr. Laura Bayless.
But in 2020-21, 88% of our classes were virtual, virtual or hybrid, and then 12% were in person. And so then what do faculty and students need to support that in technology, training, policy-wise, all of those kinds of things? So one of the threads that runs through COVID is things changed all the time on a dime. So there was no one moment that was like, done, we're doing this, you know? But it's just a series of decisions that happen over time, and they change.
The university's ability to think on its toes may have saved its students and faculty from completely losing at least a year of education. University President Rich Lapidus was all too aware of the tightrope he walked. Here he is from an interview I conducted with him earlier this spring.
Yeah, no, I think we did really well. We certainly had glitches, but nothing catastrophic. You know, we checked up on students and we checked up on staff to make sure that they were still hanging in there. Yep. And if you recall, it wasn't easy for any of us.
No.
But we did. We survived. And you know, overall, I think that students reported that they thought their classes were okay. They would have preferred to have been in the original format.
Of course.
They were okay. Mostly what we got were complaints about, you know, being home, the loss of socialization, isolation, and, you know, as we learned 2 years later, that's led to depression and all kinds of mental health issues. And so it was just the beginning of that we hadn't yet seen.
Yeah, it was... Personally speaking, it was really tough having my commute to school be 6 steps instead of a 6-minute drive, rolling out of bed, going right to my computer and getting to work.
Yeah. Initially, I think some people thought, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But it turned out not to be such. One of the things that, as you well know, we with each iteration of COVID, we didn't know what was coming. We were making up the rules as we went along. We had no idea whether the decisions we were making were good or bad until we saw the result. Mm-hmm. We were very nervous about bringing students and staff back to campus, having them get sick. We had seen, if you recall, some of the bigger schools around the country with outbreaks of 8,000, 9,000 people at one time. We weren't prepared for that. I mean, we're not a hospital. We don't have the ability to triage people. So we were very nervous about that.
Carrie McManus, student government president, gives an interesting cross between students and administration due to the nature of her position. McManus continued to work diligently with administration to make sure that the student voice continued to be heard.
Providing, I know a lot of students at the time needed like at-home Wi-Fi systems, so they provided those. I think they were called like MiFis or something. And I know that students who might not have had as easy access to like a computer or somewhere to like take their classes, because that was something that a lot of students struggled with, was like taking their classes online, like in like a parking lot that they could get free Wi-Fi at, like they'd go sit in the car all day. So I do know that there was some role that the CARES Act played in like helping to fund that so students could take classes in environments that were more conducive to education.
Students struggled, faculty struggled, administration struggled. The Cleveland Clinic defines dissociative amnesia as when a person blocks out certain events often associated with stress or trauma, leaving the person unable to remember important personal information. Maybe that's why a lot of our sources are saying the same thing. Maybe the experience was so traumatic and so awful that they simply resort to universal experiences instead of coming to terms with day-to-day existence. It seems so surreal looking back at it as a student myself, staring at a computer screen for hours on end alone. As almost every news outlet showed people dying by the thousands, all we could do is sit by and watch and do our best to make our way through the semester. Again, from Carrie McManus.
Honestly, that was such a blur. I think everybody was kind of reeling and everybody was struggling with everything that was going on, but I don't think anybody did well. Student, staff, faculty, administration, I think we all kind of did our best. And I don't think our best was the standard that everybody is as used to. But that's not to say that we did poorly. I just think that there was a lot of other things, personal and otherwise, going on that kind of prevented Fitchburg State from being like the forefront of everybody's attention.
Perseverentia is a production of Fitchburg State University. I'm your host, Steve Olson. This podcast was produced as part of Dr. Catherine Jewell's Honors History Seminar in the spring of 2022. Special thanks to Asher Jackson and the staff at the Amelia V. Gallucci-Chiro Library, Keisha Tracy, and the Fitchburg State University Economics, History, and Political Science Department, as well as the Fitchburg State University Honors Program. You can find all episodes of Perseverentia, as well as our bibliographies and our entire archive on our website, sites.google.com/fitchburgstate.edu/COVID-19.